This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and joining me in the studio is Philip C. What's happening on the markets front this morning, Philip?
Relatively mixed. I think that was up 0.1%. S&P 500 up 0.2%. Nasdaq closed flat, marginally lower by 0.03%. Over across to Asia, the Nikkei was up 2.1%, Hang Seng was down 1.3%, Shanghai Composite down 0.8%, STI Singapore and FBM KLCI were both down 0.5%.
So to get a view on where global markets are heading, we're going to speak to Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. For a change, we're going to look at Europe because actually the Eurozone markets have been the quiet achiever this year, with the Euro Stoxx 50 index up 17% year to date. Are you a fan of European stocks? And if so, which ones do you actually like?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the European market has been a relative laggard for a decade or more. So this period of outperformance is most welcome. And we think a lot of that's driven by valuation and a change in circumstance. Europe was underperforming for many years because of the financials post the global financial crisis. And also the fact that European industry and manufacturing and automobiles are large parts of that index. And we had a global auto slowdown until recently. Going forward, there have been clear signs of a renaissance in global manufacturing and also up in construction activity where Europe plays through things like building materials and crane makers. So areas we like in Europe specifically are semiconductor equipment, such as the Dutch firm ASML, construction materials such as the Swiss chemicals group, Sika. They make sealants that go into windows and the like, you know, those caulking guns, and luxury goods such as LVMH. Right now, the European renewable energy firms are pretty strong, like Vestas and so on, but they seem a bit overvalued to us. Because of the natural gas crisis in Europe with high prices, utilities like Iberdrola in Spain have been hit hard as the government forces back the pricing adjustment on them. But we actually like that stock. We sold it going into this period of high prices. We'll certainly buy it back because it's an excellent company with a diverse portfolio across renewables and gas, which is, of course, important in the transition.
I mean, you kind of implying industrials, utilities doing pretty well, but there is some short-term pressure, right, as we see business activity kind of decelerate in September and even the Bank of England downgrading economic growth projections in the third quarter. What's your take on things like consumer and financials then?
I think that broadly, we're looking at a relatively weak period for the economy in aggregate. But because financial conditions are still relatively loose, we think that areas that benefit from fiscal stimulus like construction and areas that benefit from consumer demand for goods versus services, like autos and so on, they're probably going to struggle through this period. And so you've got to pick the areas of strength in that. And so there's a range of those things that have been mentioned. But another I would touch on in Europe is shipping. I mean, the Danish shipping company Maersk is doing a tremendous business right now.
And staying on shipping, what we do know is global MNCs are, of course, affected by supply side shortages on raw materials and parts. So what is your outlook, actually, on shipping and logistic companies?
I do think that shipping and logistic really has put its hand up as being ultimately the area where there's probably going to be the most new capital investment as a result of COVID and also some of the best opportunities. I mean, we have to remember that shipping in particular, I mean, ships at sea, is highly, highly cyclical. But just for reference, in the most recently reported quarter for the 11 largest shipping firms worldwide, they made $26 billion of profit in a single quarter. That's 13 times the comparable period last year. So you know conditions are good, and therefore, if you can pick the appropriate shipping companies, and we like things like Maersk, I mentioned, and also Nippon Yusen up in Japan, you can do well. We have to be careful coming out the back of this period, though. And then you can also look at some of the logistic warehousing companies.
Now, I mean, you talk about Nippon, and let's just go straight over to Asia-Pacific because virus cases are still quite high in Asia-Pac. When do you see some sort of return to profitability for airlines and hospitality stocks in this region?
I just think it's too hard to tell right now on the hospitality and travel. Let's remember that Delta came out of nowhere in India last year, and you know, it's driven this huge wave worldwide. Fortunately, vaccination levels are coming up, but it already seems clear that we're probably going to have booster shots and so on. So we may have to deal with, shall we say, COVID slow, not COVID shutdown for some years. And therefore, I think buying into hospitality and leisure trends that are close to home rather than far away is probably good. You know, one that I would mention is the grey nomad trend for retirees in RVs, recreational vehicles. And if you look at Winnebago, the stock in the US, you know, it's been doing pretty well for the last couple of years, but it's still only at 9.6 times earnings. And that looks like a real beneficiary of this period. So I think you've got to be a little bit open-minded as to where you'll find the opportunities going forward.
I want to stay in Asia and particularly focus on Hong Kong, because the Hang Seng Index on a year-to-date basis is down 11.16%. Kingsley, are there gems there to look at?
Well, there definitely will be. I think what you're identifying there in terms of that price movement is the obvious adjustment to this change in international circumstances, you know, obviously with Hong Kong and democracy movement and the reactions to that, combined with, you know, the tensions between the US and China. But you know, I think that with China being really the second largest economy in the world, it'd be foolish to suppose that they're not going to be massive investment opportunities going forward. It's just that we have to stand back a little bit at this time and wait for the, shall we say, the regulatory dust to settle. And obviously, you know, Hong Kong being a big property market, until the Evergrande crisis really materializes to the extent that it may damage circumstance. The one thing I would say about Hong Kong real estate is that those firms, that is to say the developers, they tend to be a little bit less leveraged than the mainland Chinese counterparts. So whilst they may get taken down in this period, I think they could well be the ideal entry points for real estate coming out the other side. But we just can't know when that is right now because it's just too murky.
I mean, let's stay to the theme of real estate because we're seeing in Australia especially, right, property prices are skyrocketing again. What kind of sectors and stocks are going to benefit from this upswing?
Well, we're a little contrarian here. We actually like the Australian retail banks. The market's taken the view that, you know, it's glass half full because they won't have a lot of earnings growth, but they will print dividends, and that's important in this low rates environment. And also, I think, you know, the recent rise in house prices in Australia, combined with selected labour shortages in high-paying areas like tech, means that mortgage books are going to be supported going forward. There's a big demographic factor here with, you know, those we call millennials actually moving into homemaking. And that was a long time delayed around the world, particularly in places like the US because of high student debt. But we think that that's now starting to take root with strong housing development in the United States and also in Australia. And that always augurs well for the mortgage books going forward. So for those reasons, we actually kind of like the Australian banks. And we also like some of the recovering Australian property firms like the shopping mall group, Centre Group, and also Stockland, the developer. So there are a number of names we're looking at. And we're also looking for better entries on some of the logistic real estate trusts in Australia.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his views on the world market. And surprisingly to me, he recognizes that for China, it's such a big market, you can't ignore it, right? Yep. Second largest economy. But he's also warning you might want to wait for the dust to settle before you actually put your toe into the Hang Seng Index, which is actually probably the worst performing market in Asia at this current moment, down 11%, because the policy uncertainty still remains.
He seems very wait and see, for Asia Pac, even with this whole theme of COVID slow. You know, the recovery doesn't seem to be taking off, right? Unlike what you see in the US or even in the Europe, but even in Europe, there are already signs of slowdown already happening, right? So it's very interesting how COVID will have lasting repercussions, you know. And you know, in the early stages of COVID, we always talk about this alphabet soup, is it U, L, V, whatever, right? And then we landed on K because certain sectors were moving better versus others. But I think people are coming to the realization that it's going to be a very long U.
Yes, I think so, because the virus is ever-changing.
Yeah.
Just when we think we seem to have a grip on it, it humbles us, it evolves. So I think all governments are very nervous, but the focus has clearly been on fiscal stimulus, even in Malaysia, and we see that very much so in US in terms of infrastructure spend. So Kingsley is directing us to look at stocks that will benefit from that. So yes, the economic data is suggesting towards a bit of a slowdown and a bit of pessimism, but governments are going to spend their way out of the problem. So how do you play this? You play the construction teams, you play manufacturing, maybe you play building materials, you even play commodities.
Absolutely.
And we already begin to see that in terms of the stock price reactions. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.